Hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast by SecRB. I am your host, Akash Sharma. You also know me by the name Terabyte. So today we are going to talk with an amazingly talented guy. He has mastered the skills of Python programming and being savage on Twitter. He has a really cool Twitter account. And he is father to numerous tools he has made, which are acknowledged by various security organizations worldwide. He's the guy with the 26th rank all over the world in Python programming, and he proudly holds the number one position in India on GitHub as well for the same. So the guy we have today is Somdev Sangwan. Welcome, buddy, and how are you?
Thanks, Akash, for having me on this amazing podcast. I'm doing really great. How about you?
I'm doing great as well. Thanks for asking, man. So I'm really glad to have you, and I really appreciated that you gave out some of your time. So as you know, like, the podcast is going to be in question answer phase. Like, we have some questions from our community and from the audience that we have, and we're gonna ask you some of them. So can you please just like elaborate a little bit about yourself, like what you do, who you are, so that people can relate to you?
Okay, so most of my work is about automation and security research. I try to find new ways to exploit vulnerabilities, how to make their exploits more effective against targets, and a new way to automate things. And apart from that, I am into OSINT. I do a lot of open source contribution. That's it.
No, well, you said that's it, but it's really cool that there are some really cool stuff that you have done, I've seen. So you said like you have been into automation and security altogether. So so have you also like tried bug hunting, bug bounty as well?
Okay, I have, but I don't think it suits my mentality and the path I want to go on, because I want to stay on the research side, where you find new classes of vulnerabilities and you do something innovative. And you know, there are just mainly two paths that people like to go on. Either you go on the corporate side, or you go on the bug hunting side. On one side you have the stability, on the other side you have the freedom to choose your actions and get paid for the bugs you find. I decided to go on the corporate side because that complements what I do.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. So, what kind of viewpoints you can give, like, because you definitely must be having some experience with the web application securities as well. So what is your viewpoint in like enhancing the web application security in specific?
Akash, we can edit this out. I actually talked with your friend that this question is not very informative.
All right, cool. Okay, so we'll edit this out. All right. Okay, so fine. So since you also talked about like you have been into automation and you do have some great experience with it, so what kind of roadmap that you would like to suggest to people, to the listeners, about learning automation, getting into this?
The two languages that I can recommend are Python and Go. Python, because it's very easier to write, it's very fun to code in, and there are tons of libraries that you can use. If you want that speed, that in the case of multi-threading, you can use Go. It is an amazing language. But I would suggest you to go with Python first, because if you master Python first, Go will be a piece of cake for you. I would say I learned Go in a week.
Awesome.
Once you have picked your language, it can be anything else that you like Perl or Ruby or Python or Go, anything. Just get started, pick a book, pick a YouTube playlist, or pick a course, anything you like. And just start working on it. Everything will start falling into place. Just make sure that you practice along the learning. And once you are comfortable enough, pick a random GitHub project that you like and see if you can improve it in any way, or you can fix any bugs. Once you have got more comfortable, you can actually start writing things from the scratch. A good idea is to automate a scanning of a vulnerability or a task that you do in your everyday life. Those two are the very good places to start.
Awesome. So as you said, like, you like Python yourself. I am a Python lover as well by myself. It's been almost 4 or 5 years I've been like all into Python altogether. And I'm really glad to see like you also learned Go in a week. That's awesome. So while learning Python, what kind of difficulties do you think like the beginners might face? Like, what are the challenges they might have that you might have experienced?
I think there are just two big challenges that beginners often face. One is that there is this misconception that programming is very hard. It's actually not. And the second one is that people don't actually practice the things they learn. And once they have completed the course or the book they are reading, they have no idea what to do with what they just learned. And I have often people asking me that they know Python or any other programming language, but they don't know what programs to create. So that's why I suggest you can just pick up your favorite vulnerability that you are really good at finding and exploiting and try to automate that process.
Okay. Cool. So that's what's quite good advice, a piece of advice that you gave. That's interesting. You have spent a quality time in this domain in the industry, and as you said, like, you have spent some of your professional time with some clients working on the research side of the domain. So can you tell me, like, what is your favorite exploit, like, when it comes to pen testing, or like what kind of exploitation technique that you go for all the time? Like, is that the kernel exploits that you search for? What is it like? What's the strategy?
It's XSS, man. Hands down, it's XSS. I love XSS just because it's very common. You will find it everywhere. Most of the attacks reported on the web or the bug bounty platforms are XSS, like at least 30% of them. And ironically, even if it's common, no one has found a solution to correctly identify it with a program. There is no perfect scanner for it, just because it's a very complex vulnerability, and the websites have become very dynamic in nature. So the scanners just fail there. And if you are a programmer and you are listening to this podcast, I would suggest you to write a scanner if you want to, that just checks if the input is being escaped or not, and you can actually build it on a headless browser such as Selenium. That would be great. And apart from these two reasons, I think XSS is overlooked in sense of exploitation, because people just stop at that pop-up and they never try to escalate it. Some of them do, but it's not very common.
No, but commonly, as you and I have already seen, like, a lot of people just find that little small JavaScript box and then they just leave it then and there. They cannot be done with the help of XSS. And I must say, you must have also mastered JavaScript along with Python too, because you are saying, like, you are into XSS. So can you count, like, how many JavaScript frameworks you might know, just to tell the listeners?
Actually, I'm not very good at JavaScript. The essential skill that every hacker should have is that you should be able to read code. It can be in any foreign language or any alien language that you might not understand, that you don't code in. But you should be able to read it, and you should be able to figure out what's happening in there if you look at the code. And that's actually my case with JavaScript. I have worked with it, but not on a level that where I have to master a framework, or I have to learn a framework, because that's mostly for web developers, everyone who does the front end things, not for us hackers.
Right. Okay, that was good. So you can say in a way that it's not the syntax, but it is the logic that you need to understand, right? Right, awesome. So this can be a really good insight for people who are like learning programming and they are having difficulty understanding a lot of languages altogether. So it's just that if you are able to understand the logic, then you can definitely interpret the syntax later.
Sure. And if there is something you can't understand, like there is a function or there's something that you have no idea what it does, you can just Google it.
Absolutely, like it's all open information, right? Since now we coined the term open information, you're also very well known for OSINT, right? So can you, like, in the very simplest form, just explain OSINT real quick?
So OSINT is one of the six fields of intelligence gathering, and in case of OSINT, it is open source information, open source intelligence, which means that you collect information from publicly available resources such as websites, search engines, or anything you can find out on the internet or even offline, like a library. Yeah, that's what OSINT is.
Okay. So what have been your personal favorites when it comes to, like, gathering information with the help of OSINT?
Personal favorite what? Favorite tools, techniques, or what?
Like favorite, basically, like targets, you can say, or favorite resources.
Well, in case of resources, I really enjoy Bellingcat's blog. They are the best people in the world in case of OSINT.
Awesome.
And in case of tools, the first thing I would mention is that search engines are the core of OSINT. For the general web searches, I use Google because they have indexed most of the internet. And in case of reverse image search, I prefer Yandex.
Awesome.
That beats Google in case of reverse image search. Apart from that, I use Spiderfoot. It has a lot of
Okay.
modules that we use in OSINT.
Okay. Awesome. So, that's really good. I saw on your profile on maybe it was on LinkedIn or it was on Twitter, I don't really remember, but there was this term that you coined, OSINT Lord, right? That was an interesting term. So, like, do you have a history? Like, do you have a fun story about it, or you just coined it?
It was a while ago, and you must have seen it a while ago. You won't find it there if you look there now.
I know, right.
So, I just had this tendency to gain scales and check them off my list, just like you check off achievements in a game, in a video game. And that just motivated me. Like, I learned OSINT, I learned graphics, I learned that and this.
Awesome.
It was, how do I explain it? There's actually no explanation for it, but it
Okay.
was just a thing.
Just an instinct that you got, like you can keep it because it sounds cool, maybe.
I was just I would say I was very naive at that point, and
Okay. No, but it actually sounds cool, like because you have mastered some sort of skill and then you are keeping it that way. So it's savage and it's cool. So yeah, it's good.
It's just for your self-esteem, and it just makes you feel better. Like I have gained this skill, and now I'm going for this one and this one. It keeps me motivated, man.
So also this is something of my personal research on you. So I've seen a few posts that I personally also feel the same though, that people do write in their, in their profiles that they are security researchers, right? So what do you think, as per you, like what is a proper definition to a security researcher?
To understand that, I think we should define, or we should read out the definition from the internet of research. Research is basically finding anything new. It can be it can be something different from everything else the world knows, or it can be derivation of new facts from already published researches. It just has to be something new that no one has ever done before. On a bigger scale, it can be a vulnerability class that you just found. On a smaller scale, it can be a WAF bypass you just found. It just has to be new. So if you are, let's say, if you found an RCE in Google, it's definitely a big thing because Google is a hardened target, but you can't term it as security research.
Right. It's just a bug that you found, right? Yeah. Like security research is like completely different and it's on a particular target and a platform, right?
Yeah, I would not compare it to a CVE, for example. For example, if you found XSS on a router login page, it would be a new finding for sure, but it just XSS at the end of the day. So you have just you have done nothing new, and it's not.
Yeah, I'm getting what you're trying to say here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's a vulnerability that is commonly found in things and you're not like doing something of your own.
Yeah.
So it cannot be termed as a research, but just a finding, just a, you can say, just a hunt that you did for a bug, right? Yeah. No, it's pretty good explanation that you gave out. That's really good. So you are very well known on the internet, to be honest. Like, your tools are being acknowledged by different organizations like Black Arch recently, right? So can you just like tell which one of which is the favorite tool of yours, like what is your favorite creation?
It's so Arjun. It's Arjun for sure, man. Everyone everyone from Jaycino to Stoke, everyone loves it.
Indeed, I love it myself, man. Can you please just explain to my listeners like what is Arjun, just to give them a brief?
It finds HTTP parameters. For example, you have a API endpoint point, let's say example.com/user info. And you have no idea what to do with it. So you can just give it to Arjun and it will try to find parameters that you can test. There might be a parameter on that endpoint that's called ID. Which may throw out some info if you tamper with it. So Arjun does that. It gives you additional attack surface on endpoints to test.
Awesome. It's really cool. Like this is for the listeners, like if you haven't used Arjun yet, go on his GitHub profile. I'll leave the link in the description. Just go there and find out some of his cool creations he has made. One of his cool creations I saw a very long time back, it was XSS Stripe, right? So, and it was like really, it's a really commendable tool and it's been used by a lot of people and yes, reviewed by them as well. So I would love to listen about XSS Stripe, the creation of it and the working of it from you.
That's actually a very big topic to discuss on this podcast, but I will give you an overview. So I started working on XSS Strike about 3 years ago, and there has been three versions of it. The first one was just an integrated suite of four different tools. I just integrated them to work together, and I called it XSS Strike. So after an year, when I gained some new skills in Python and XSS, I decided to write it from scratch, and I did. The only thing that I was doing different from all the other scanners was that I was just checking if the input is getting reflected, and if it was getting reflected, I was checking what kind of characters are not being escaped, and if the characters required to break out of the context of the reflection, then I would generate payloads and test them. And the other tools were simply picking up payloads from a list of payloads and checking if they execute, which was not a very ideal way to do it. So that's what I did different from it, the other scanners. In the third version, I did some more changes to handle the false positives and false negatives. I actually wrote a HTML parser of my own for that.
Awesome.
I wrote a fuzzing engine that could give you brand new web bypasses.
Wow. Nice.
I wrote a crawler. I did a lot of things, and actually there is a fourth version coming out this year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's something good to know. So XSSstrike V4.0 is coming out. So yeah, people will be looking out. I also saw one of your tweet, like, throw away your paid tools because it's some god level shit. It actually it is, because XSSstrike have been so consistent and it's been so unique to use and easy to use as well. I mean, that's really commendable job. Kudos to you, man.
Thanks, Akash.
You're welcome. So we'll have another podcast, or maybe have another discussion on tools and other creations that you have made.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about security in general. Like, you have been into this domain for a really long time and really respected time. So when people are beginning into this stuff, like, they are only having the generic information about the security domain and security practices. So how would you motivate beginners to think out of the box, think out of the generic things?
That's a very good question, Akash. Thinking out of the box is an essential skill for every hacker out there, because we need to come up with new ways to break into a target that we have. And to be creative, you first need to have knowledge of the component you are trying to attack or the problem you are trying to solve. And you have to be in that mindset. And I would say you can, okay, give me a minute. I actually made a list of points that I would be discussing.
Oh, awesome. That will be good if you will share.
That, I left that on Linux.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, just a second.
It's okay.
Yeah, we can do it again.
Okay, so on one, you will just start, okay? 3, 2, 1.
To think out of the box, you first need to have knowledge of the problem you are trying to solve. For example, if you are trying to find vulnerability in a component, you must first understand how that component works. Then second, I would suggest you to see if there are any previous researches around that topic. Just Google the name of the topic and see if other people have done any work on that. So you might be able to build something on top of their work. It has happened to me a couple of times as well. Like, I think I found something new, but when I check Google, it turns out that someone has done it before. So that's important too. And reading someone else's research paper is a good thing to do as well, because it gives you insight on how they approached the problem. So you can use the same kind of thinking, same kind of methodology in your own work. And to gain deep understanding of something you are trying to attack or you are trying to solve, can be done with its documentation or RFC standards that are published for those two are the best places to start if you want to understand something deep enough.
Okay, awesome. That's good. That's really good piece of advice you gave out. So beginners, you already have a really good advice from Somdev, so I believe this will be helpful. In the very beginning of the podcast, Somdev, you said, like, you prefer to be in the research sector more than of bug bounty sector, right?
Yeah.
So, but I want to ask you this, like, as per your analysis, do you think, like, the bug bounty culture have any kind of enhancement that has been made or implemented in the security culture, like, in the last, let's say, in the last decade, or maybe, let's say, 5 years?
Bug Bounty is great, man. It has given so much to the community, to the industry. It's just great. I like the people. I like the platform it has given to all the beginners out there. You can be a college student with no degrees and no certificates, and you can make millions with Bug Bounty. You can earn those street credits. You can earn that reputation in the community, and you can then easily land a job or start your own company. Before Bug Bounty, it was really hard for newcomers to get into security because, you know, a lot of companies ask you to have a degree or have a certificate. But Bug Bounty has changed all of that, and it's really great, and a lot of cool people and cool tools have come out of it. It's really great. It has changed cybersecurity forever.
Indeed, I agree with you on this point as well. See, Somdev, like, we do have listeners from all sectors of this particular field, right? We have beginners, we have corporate people, and generally people who are into, even in the corporate sector or even in the beginning phase, learning phase, they have this very common question, like, how Bug Bounty is different from pen testing? Because if we are pen testing a web application, we are still finding some vulnerability. So how Bug Bounty is different from that? So just, can you just state out some of the traditional differences between them?
I think the most important difference is the professionalism, because in case of pen testing, you have to write a proper report, you have to check your spellings and grammar and everything. There are actually teams that write a report, and that report goes through like three checks. One person checks for compile, and second person checks if there are any grammatical errors, and then there is this lead kind of guy which sees if report is fine or not from his point. In Bug Bounty, you just find a bug and you create a POC and you just submit it to the program. That's all. And pen testing teaches you teamwork. That's an important skill to have. In Bug Bounty, you are on your own. You go first, you get first. If you are late, you might get a duplicate for a bug you try to work really hard for. In pen testing, you work as a team. You find assets together. You find bugs together, then you create a report. So
it's more of a coordinated effort in, you know, in pen testing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, these are some interesting points. That's really good to know from your side, like, your point of view on this. So can you also, like, just for the sake of, like, having a little bit fun time here, like, what was your funniest incident that you ever had in this whole past 4 or 5 years of your security experience? Being a security researcher yourself, like, what is the funniest incident that you ever had?
Okay, so there was this friend of mine who asked me if he can join me on my team viewer and see how I hack into things. So it was about 2 years ago, and he jumped on my team viewer and he just wanted to see how I approach a target. So he gave me a website and asked me to find something, anything. So the, then the first thing I did was I opened Google, I typed in the website, and I entered the doc, Google doc for the extension txt, which is ext:txt. So I searched for that, and the first result was a text file that contained the FTP password. All of it, all of it happened in 10 seconds. We laughed.
Awesome.
That was just the funniest incident of my life in context of cybersecurity. Yeah.
So it's just like the memes, right? Like, you want me to hack a site? Okay, challenge accepted.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Hacker man. Nice, nice. Okay, yeah. That's really cool. That was a good incident. I believe he must have admired your caliber after that.
It was pure luck, man. It was just pure luck.
Yeah. That's really good. After knowing all this from you, knowing a lot about you and your work, I have a last question. Like, this is from the behalf of the whole community. I'm asking that you see, everybody's learning is in the learning phase. Even me, if you talk about anybody else, like we all are learning something at some point of time. So, when we are learning stuff, we do break down or we do feel like it's now getting on our nerves and it's just breaking down our whole motivation. So just wanted to know your perspective, like when you feel some sort of this kind of a situation. So what do you do? Like, what are your hacks or what are your tricks that you perform or what is your roadmap to keep going in this learning phase?
I've been there. I have been there a lot of times. A
Right.
lot of times it happens that we really want to work hard, we want to do something, but we just lack the motivation to do so. So I would say you need to develop consistency. You have to make it a habit to work, not a chore that you need to do. And to develop consistency, I would suggest you to trick your mind into thinking that you are actually working. You can try getting up 1 hour earlier in the morning. You can go for a morning walk. You can make your bed and everything. And you can just work for 10 minutes or the max you can do. The trick is to do it regularly. So you can have that consistency and you can increase that time every day if you want to.
Awesome.
And once you have built that consistency, it will stay there forever, believe me, it will stay there forever. And
Awesome.
you can actually break down your day into three parts. In one part, you can apply what you know, what you already know. You can make money with it, or you can just practice. And in the second
Awesome.
part, you can try to gain a new skill. For example, you can just define 2 hours of your day that I will be reading new articles in this part of my day, or I will be going through a course for anything. It can be anything like IoT security or lock picking or anything that interests you. And in the third part, you can be easy on your mind and do something for your entertainment. You can go on you can go on a walk, or you can watch a good movie, or you can hang out with your friends. That way, you will not burn out.
Oh, that's no, that's a really awesome. That's really awesome way of like keeping yourself up the whole day. That's nice. I like your insights on this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, well, Somdev, it was like an amazing time I had with you. And thank you so much for your time that you gave out for us for this podcast. I hope you also enjoyed talking to us, and I hope the listeners also enjoyed your insights on the security domain and the different perspective, and I'm pretty sure they're going to enjoy your work as well. Right.
Thanks, Avash. Thanks for
You're
having me.
welcome, Somdev. Thank you so much for coming again, and thanks for your time, man. It's already late at night. Right. So we gotta go, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this podcast. And I really hope like you like the content. And if you have any kind of queries, you want to talk to Somdev, I'm gonna drop his links maybe in the description or in our social media post. You can simply ping him, follow his work, and admiration is all what a developer needs. So just go and retweet his some of his posts, maybe that'll be good. Right? Anything else, Somdev, that you would like to add up?
No, I think we are fine. Thanks for having me,
Awesome.
Akash, again. It was
All right, so
lovely
we call it
talking
off
to
a
you.
day for the podcast, and here we end it. Thank you so much, guys, and see you till next time. This is your host, Terabyte, and you're tuned into Sec Army. Thank you, and have a good one.